Pradhan and as Purusha. And everything that exists is created from the Lord, by the Lord, in the Lord, etc. So everything is dependent on the Supreme Lord. So this is the further expansion of that principle of the how the Lord creates or manifests everything, and particularly of the material world. In one sense, we don't have to worry about the spiritual world because it's eternal. But material world is a creation and there's a destruction repeatedly going on. And furthermore, material world is achit, unconscious. It is quite different from the Supreme Lord. It is not like his chit shakti, it's achit shakti. So it's quite different. So the problem comes in how does the Lord relate with this material world, creating it, maintaining it, destroying it, etc., without being touched by it in any way. So therefore we have an elaborate explanation given in the second canto and third cantos of Bhagavatam. And here we have a little summary of that, how the Lord manifests the material world and remains separate from it. So the separateness of the Lord here is indicated by these words, adokshaja and aja. Aja means no birth. So everybody in the material world has a birth because they have material bodies due to karma. So Supreme Lord has no birth, which means no material body, no material karma. It's completely different from material bodies. So that also indicates he's not touched by this material world since he's unborn in all cases. And adokshaja, of course, means he's beyond the material senses, etc. He cannot be approached or perceived or understood by material means, so he's completely separate from the material world. Nevertheless, he involves himself in the material world. The previous verse stated that everything comes from the Lord. Everything is in the Lord. Everything belongs to the Lord. Everything is for the Lord. Like that. So, necessarily there has to be a relationship between the material world and Supreme Lord. Because he is, everything comes from him, everything is in him, etc. So material world comes from him, material world is in him. At the same time, how does he remain separate and unborn and transcendental, untouched by the material world at all? So, therefore, we have an elaborate explanation that takes place in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam of how he does this. In any case, here it merely generalizes and say he creates the material world. Atma Shrishtam is created by the Supreme Lord, but he remains completely different from it, and he enters into it. Anupravishya. He enters into that material world. Of course, that's expressed in the previous verse because it says everything is in the Lord and he is in everything, etc. So he enters into this material world and he does so for a certain purpose. So that is also represented here by saying Atma. Atman. You are the Atma. You are the soul of the universe. So it depends on you, just as our material body depends on the jiva in the body. So whole material world depends upon the Supreme Lord. He is the soul of the universe. So therefore, necessarily, he has to enter into it to do so, from normal perception at least. So he does this, practically speaking, by entering as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. And then furthermore into each jiva in the universe as Kshiradakshaya Vishnu. So he actually enters into the material world at the same time being separate from it. So ultimately he's the soul of the universe as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and he's the soul of the jiva and his material body as Kshiradakshaya Vishnu, and he's the soul of all Prakriti as Mahavishnu. So he relates to the material world in these different ways. At the same time, he is untouched by the problems of the material world. Now, the jiva is, of course, pure in all cases, but he is subject to ignorance in his material body. So the Lord enters into our material body, into the jiva, into the material universe, into Prakriti, etc., but completely untouched by ignorance at all, completely separate, different. So he's quite different from the jiva who enters into the universe. So, therefore, that's why the words Dokshaja and Aja are used, because he's quite different from the jiva, even though he can be called Atma, or the soul of everything. So, everything depends upon the Supreme Lord, and therefore, just as the body depends on the Atma, so the universe depends upon the Supreme Lord. He enters into it, and he supports it in all ways. So, therefore, it says here in this verse, Bibarshi, you maintain this creation. You are the jiva of the universe. You give life to the universe. You're the prana of the universe. It only operates because of Supreme Lord. In the second canto, in describing the universal form, which we can say is symbolic in one sense, it describes how the whole universal form appears with, you know, hands and feet and eyes and ears, etc. And the devatas of the senses are there, but then the body can't operate. And then finally, the Supreme Lord enters into that body as the Atma of that universal form, and it begins to see and move and operate its senses properly. So, though we have a soul within the body, and say because the soul is there, therefore we can do our activities. Actually, Paramatma is in the jiva. That's what's doing everything ultimately. If the Paramatma is not there, the jiva can also not do anything. So there's the Paramatma that gives the power to the jiva to pervade his body and do all these different things. In other words, consciousness of the jiva and all of his actions and all of his properties are dependent upon the Supreme Lord, ultimately. So he is the soul of the soul, the soul of the universe. So this shows the dependence of everything on the Supreme Lord. So just as we do activities within our body for a certain purpose, we're ultimately doing this because it's the desire of the jiva to enjoy. So he does different activities using his body and his senses and his mind and intelligence in order to get some satisfaction. Ultimately, it is coming from the jiva. So the jiva is the source of inspiration for all the activities of this material body. So ultimately, again, we say it ultimately comes from Supreme Lord. He's the one that gives the jiva the energy to do all of this. So he's behind everything in the material world. He is the one that maintains this material world, just as we can say the jiva maintains the material body. So behind that is Supreme Lord. So everything the Supreme Lord ultimately is maintained by. Everything in the world is maintained by the Supreme Lord. So the whole universal form, which is the whole universe made up of a body, is ultimately dependent upon Paramatma, the source of life of the whole universe. So in this way we have the dependence of whole creation upon Supreme Lord. It is created by him. It comes from him, and it is for his purpose. He is directing everything ultimately in the material world because he has a purpose for creating the material world, etc. So, in this way, he has complete control over creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material world. But he remains completely separate from it. So how is it possible? One, of course, is that this is the nature of the Lord, that he can do anything, and he's always completely uncontaminated, always pure. He's not like a jiva. Huh? Secondly, of course, these are expansions. So actually the Supreme Lord, in his completely joyful state, is not even in the material world. He's got nothing to do with the creation of the material world. He's in the spiritual world. So that form we call Bhagavan. Then Bhagavan is not even concerned about anything in the material world. He's only involved in his pastimes of bliss with his devotees. So the function of creating material world and maintaining it and destroying it is taken care of by Paramatma, features of the Lord. They're the ones that do that. But they're also same Lord. Paramatma, Bhagavan are one. They're not different. So he is separate because he's in the spiritual world as Bhagavan. And the Paramatma feature carries out these different activities simultaneously. He's still one Supreme Lord. So this is one way in which the Lord manages to maintain aloofness from the material world, because another form does all this activity in the material world, but it's one Supreme Lord at the same time. But even this form of Paramatma is not touched by the material world. He's not influenced by it at all. So that is represented by the fact that Mahavishnu simply glances over material energy. He doesn't get involved with it and start touching it and doing things with it like a potter manages the clay to make a pot. And even the glance is not a real glance, it's simply his will. He simply wills because he understands the jivas are eager to get material bodies and enjoy. Then the Lord wills that Prakriti starts transforming into Mahatattva and Sutra and Ahankara and all the material elements, and then these make universes, etc. So simply by his will he can operate material energy, make it work. He doesn't have to use his form or anything or touch it physically at all. Simply his will manifests everything so that he manages everything. So though he's in the material world also, still untouched by it, as he is the Garbhadakshaya Vishnu within the material world and Kshiradakshaya Vishnu. He's inside the world but still untouched by it completely. How is it possible? Because that's the definition of Supreme Lord. He is always pure. He is never influenced at all by a material world. Nevertheless, he has an interest in the material world. He has a purpose for it. At the same time, he is not totally involved with everything in the material world, such as we are. We get attached to things in the material world, and we get subject to, we get happiness and distress and lamentation and so many emotions. Lord is not like that at all. He is certainly involved, but at the same time, completely detached from everything. Therefore, his relationship with the world is quite different from ours. The jiva also can attain such a state of being completely detached from everything in the material world, even though he's living in it. So he does that by becoming a devotee. And if he attains prema, then he's untouched by the material world also. So it's possible even for the jiva to get beyond the influence of the material world. Difference is that the Lord is never in this position of being under the control of Maya and influenced by ignorance and Prakriti, etc. Whereas jiva can do so. The jiva also can get out of this position completely. How? Mercy of Supreme Lord. It's difficult for the jiva to get out on its own. And Bhagavad Gita says it's mama maya duratyaya, you cannot get out. You cannot surpass the material world on your own effort. That's why it's very difficult for the gyanis and yogis to try to get it out on their own. Even then, they can only get out and get liberation by mercy of the Lord. So, if you surrender to the Lord, then you can get out. That surrender involves the mercy of the Supreme Lord. You surrender to the Lord, you get His mercy, then you get out of the material world. You can get out in two ways, through jnana and yoga, with a little surrender and a little mercy, and you get liberation. Or you can get out through the process of bhakti, and that surrender, you surrender completely, no mixture of anything else, no other desire, and you also get out of the material world, you get mukti, but you also end up in the spiritual world, in an eternal relationship with the Lord. So that's a superior type of liberation. So it all depends on the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So the Lord creates the material world and puts everyone in all the jivas in the material world. And even to get out of the material world, jivas cannot do it on their own. They need the assistance of the Supreme Lord. To get to the spiritual world, we need the assistance of the Supreme Lord. So jiva cannot do anything on his own. We invoke that mercy through the process of bhakti. When we perform devotional service, then we start getting that mercy, and this allows us to transcend the material world. So that is the whole goal of the Lord producing these universes, to give the jiva a chance to get out of this position in the material world. Then to do this, the Lord supplies the process of bhakti, and He also comes as Supreme Lord, as avatar, and He also gives teachings, and He also sends devotees who deliver the process of bhakti to the jivas. In this way, the Lord never abandons the jivas in the material world. But according to their qualification, some will take up the process of bhakti and some will not. So the Lord does not force the issue. And for that reason, it is said, out of thousands and thousands of people, only one knows me in truth. Because the jivas are not qualified yet. They want to do other things. So we cannot blame the Lord for that. That is the choice of the jiva. So the Lord makes this material world with His own purpose in mind. He does not interfere with the desires of the jiva. At the same time, He makes an arrangement for the jivas to reach perfection by taking to the process of bhakti. And He also supplies other processes, jnana yoga, karma yoga. And if you don't want to do that also, then He just gives you karma and He'll take care of you. So in this way, the Lord has all sorts of arrangements in this material world for all sorts of jivas according to their qualification. And it's all nicely arranged by the Lord under His various representatives, the devatas and the devotees, etc.
Is there a distinction between the names, like some names to address Vishnu and some name addressed to Krishna? There is Aja and also Adakshaja Vishnu, it is mentioned. And there is Vishnu Sahasranama also. So some names only to address Vishnu, some names to Krishna.
Well, because the names have a general meaning, they can also be applied to many of the different forms of the Lord. So if you look at the Gopal Sahasrara, names of Krishna, a thousand names of Krishna. And many of those names are the same names as Vishnu's names. Or you look at Narsimha's names again, and many of those names are the same as Vishnu's and Krishna's names as well. Because they're all unborn and they're all beyond material senses, etc., etc. But in the case of Krishna, we also give particular meaning to those names. So, for instance, Adokshaja. One is he's beyond the material senses. The other is that he was underneath the cart, the axle of the cart, and then he kicked the cart and the demon was killed, just like this. So Adha means underneath, and the Akshaka means the axle of the cart. So he was under the axle of the cart, and then he kicked it, and then he killed the demon. So that's the Krishna definition of the word, like that. So we can always give different meanings. Even Vasudev, we can take as a Vasudev as the meaning of not just son of Vasudev, but also we can take it as Krishna. So there's different ways of deriving the meaning of words in relation to Krishna as well.
Regarding this names, Maharaj, like they say, like Krishna and Shiva and Brahma, Indra, these people's names are exchanged sometimes. Like Mahadeva, Indra, Rudra, they are also referred to Krishna also, except the name Narayana. But there is also, like, you know, in this Siddhanta Ratnam, it also says Brahma named as Narayana did the creation. So why does it come like that, Maharaj? Brahma named as Narayana did the creation of the universe.
Brahma's name is Narayana.
Brahma named as Narayana. So usually it's told, like, you know, the names of Shiva, Vishnu and Brahma, they are interchanged. Sometimes they refer.
Well, because names have a general meaning. They can always, as I said, we can use the Aja, and we can refer to Krishna. We can even refer to Shiva as Aja because he's unborn. He's not got a material body. So in that sense, we can have a thousand names of Shiva. Many of them would also be names of Vishnu. And even Shiva's name is one of the thousand names of Vishnu. So the names can be interchanged because the meaning is such that it could be applied. And then, of course, even to Jivas, sometimes the names are applied. So we call Narada Muni is called Bhagavan, or Vidura is called Bhagavan because they have great qualities or whatever. But these are called secondary meanings. So ultimately, all the devatas' names are secondarily devatas' names, but then they're primarily names of the Supreme Lord, because he's the one that ultimately has all the qualities that describe all the different devatas. Yeah. So this, of course, is also concluded in the Brahma Sutras, that all the names are names of the Lord ultimately. So, therefore, we hear glorification of different devatas in the Vedas or other works. We can also say it's a glorification of Supreme Lord because he has all those qualities. So the name Shiva, of course, we know Shiva is the one with the snakes around his neck or whatever. But he's also means the most auspicious. So Supreme Lord is the most auspicious. So that also refers to Vishnu. But then we can say that Krishna is the most auspicious. So we can say Shiva means Krishna also, because he's the most auspicious of all. Or Agni means, you know, fire, devata, whatever. But it comes from the root ni, and ni means to lead. So he's the leader. Okay? So therefore, Vishnu is the leader ultimately, not Agni. And of course, if we say Krishna, he's the leader. He's the Swayam Bhagavan, so he's the topmost form of Bhagavan, so he's also Agni in that sense. So everything can be applied. Relatively, we can stick the names on a lower level or a higher level. But we have to be very clear when we use those names who we're referring to.
All right. Does the Jiva only transmigrate to the spiritual world when he attains Prema, or below also he can transmigrate?
Who?
Jiva.
Can?
Go back to spiritual world only at the prema level, or below also he goes back?
Yeah, generally prema. Yeah.
prema.
Advent Prabhupada says, chant four, chant 16 rounds, follow four regulative principles, you will go back to Godhead. What does we understand?
Then you attain prema.
But the Maharaj, prema level, what you have told and we have read is at a different level. We don't see normally that it is happening in the middle.
It's kind of rare in that sense. But we see, for instance, Chaitanya Charitamrita, everybody suddenly develop prema or whatever like that. So by mercy, of course, it can also develop in cases. Usually it takes sadhana, and the sadhana develops over several birth times. It generally takes several lifetimes to get to prema. As in the case of Bharat, he got bhava in one lifetime, got prema next lifetime. So usually it takes a few lifetimes, but it's sometimes in one lifetime as well. In any case, the devotee is not so worried so much about that as how long it takes. His only worry is to always be connected with the Supreme Lord. That's all, and serve the Supreme Lord birth after birth.
Will be there for the next 10,000 years. Suppose somebody is there in the end of the this golden period and he is not able to go back, and then total Kali Yuga starts, which is like post 10,000 years. What will be his situation then?
Well, even after that, it's not that bhakti disappears completely, it's just less prevalent, that's all. So it might be more difficult to do because it's less prevalent, but nevertheless it continues.
In the verse last, this line is stated aza. This aza can be applied for the living entities also, because ultimately they are also aza.
Well, the jivas are on.
Jivas are aza.
But in the sense that the Lord has a body, but that body is unborn. So the jivas have a body, but that body is born.
So he is considering.
But of course, if the jivas in the spiritual world, he's also aja. He has no birth in the spiritual world.
And another thing, Maharaj, you are explaining regarding this material world is for the purpose of the Supreme Lord he has created. So, but we see that this material world is like a place for the purification of the living entities. Here, living entities getting more benefit. That means, ultimately, Lord's, if it is for the benefit of the Lord, that means Lord's want more and more in the spiritual world for his pastimes.
We can say that it's an aspect of his compassion and his bliss. If a jiva attains a position in the spiritual world, then that, of course, is by the mercy of the Lord. That's a show of his compassion. And then that increases the bliss of the spiritual world. Because the jiva is blissful there, and the Lord is more blissful.
So that means, can you say that if Lord doesn't show some compassion in this material world, that means he's lacking something. Because he wants something more and more pleasure. That's why he wants more and more living.
Well, the Lord has his particular qualities, just like he has affection for the devotee and other qualities, etc. And we consider that's a fault. The Lord has attachment to his devotee. Why should he be attached to anybody? Why he has dependence? Why he comes under control of the devotee? Again, a fault. But these are only signs or symptoms of his affection. So we can say affection is also a bad quality because it creates attachment and bondage. But if we say that, then we have to have a perfect Lord who is completely indifferent to everything. That would also be a fault. He doesn't care for anything. He doesn't care for any of the devotees, any of the jivas, nothing. Then that would also be a fault. So the Lord has affection. It is not like material affection, which is based upon bodies and self-interest, etc. It's actually part of the internal shakti of the Lord, an expression of his pladini shakti, his bliss shakti. So he gets bliss how? Through rasa. And rasa means relationship with others, and that relationship is rasa is a relationship of affection, and that means the Lord shows affection and the jiva shows affection, so both show affection. So if we are criticized the Lord for that, but that means we can't have a spiritual world at all. The Lord should be devoid of shaktis, and we end up with Brahman. So when we accept the form of the Lord, who's blissful, etc., and we accept the spiritual world, etc., then we have to accept everything that goes with it, all of his manifestation through his various shaktis, like Pladini and Samvit and Sandini shaktis.
There's another question, like, say, you're extremely good in this song. And the Lord created the material universe, but he's not there. He's not in the material world. That means, can you say that although he creates, but he's not attached to the creation?
Yeah. He's there in the sense that he's in Paramatma, and he's in the Jiva, and he's outside the Jiva, and he's Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. Simultaneously, he's in the spiritual world as Bhagavan. So he's here, and you can say he's unattached in one sense. At the same time, he's not completely unattached, because he fulfills the desires of the Jiva in the material world. He fulfills their desire for liberation or bhakti or whatever. So he's not completely detached also.
Then how can we say that he's not there if he's not at us? How can we say that he's not there if he's not at us? If he is unattached, now how can you say that he is not there in the material world? But he is there.
Yeah. Well, he's there. It's the nature of the Supreme Lord that he can be contrary states. He can be here and not there. He can be outside and inside. He can be all there. He can do that. In fact, the Lord doesn't have to be here at all. And he can make it all go on by himself anyway. He can do that also.
So, can you say that, you know, by this, in the material world, there are many people, or many devotees are working. Although they work, but if they are not attached with their result, can you say that they are also, although they work, they are not attached? That means they are not there in this material world.
If they reach a perfect state, then that's like the Prem Bhakta. He does activities in the material world, but he's completely not attached to those activities at all. He's simply attached to the Supreme Lord, and all actions are more or less dedicated to the Supreme Lord. So yeah, he's not acting in the material world, not attached to anything in the material world. In fact, he's not there because he's actually in trance, and he's involved in the leelas of the Supreme Lord all day. So in one sense, he's not in the material world at all. He's in the spiritual world. Same with the Supreme Lord. He may do things in the material world, but actually he's in the spiritual world.
same can be applied to the jivas also.
Yeah. Can we distinguish between direction of Paramatma and Krishna? Well, when we take to the process of bhakti, then we say that is Bhagavan interacting with the jiva. So he gives guidance or whatever, and he helps the jiva who does bhakti. Paramatma is a general interaction with jivas. Who are not doing bhakti. He's the observer of everything, and he fulfills their desires, etc. So he takes a more neutral position. When we take to the process of bhakti, then the Lord becomes more attracted to the jiva. So it says the Lord is attracted to bhakti, he's not attracted to dharma or karma and sankhya and yoga and jnana, etc., but he's attracted to bhakti. So when he's attracted to bhakti, then he's like Bhagavan. Otherwise, he's operating as Paramatma.
Even after taking up to the path of devotional service, not all the souls are able to develop attachment like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Your Holiness. Or maybe give up all the social responsibilities, family responsibilities, and dedicate completely to devotional service for the pleasure of the Lord. How far and how we develop this sort of, because some or other we are involved in social responsibilities and family responsibilities. How to get out of these clutches?
Well, the more one cultivates bhakti and advances, then naturally one becomes more disinterested. If one reaches bhava stage, if you see the description in Nectar Devotion, there he has no interest in the material world because he's seeing Krishna. He's established a sthayi bhava with Krishna. If he's in prema, he completely forgets about the material world. That means he must forget about family, must forget about everything else, forgets about his material body. It's not because he wants to, but simply he's in the spiritual world. So renunciation of material world completely takes place automatically with the development of bhakti.
Then what is the role of sadhana in that? The role of sadhana in developing vairagya or detachment?
Well, our goal is not vairagya. Our goal is attachment to the Lord. And we do everything favorable for that. It may include some detachment from material things. And in sadhana, of course, we do sadhana in order to get to that level.
But he's there in the form of his energy.
Huh?
When the Lord says he is there and he's not there simultaneously, like he's not present, he's present in the material world and he's not present in the material world. Do we understand that it means that Lord is personally not present, but he's present through his energy?
Well, both.
Which runs the
He's also material. Personally present as Paramatma, but he's also impersonally present as his Shakti. Material energy is his, him also, so he's present. He is everything in the material world, as that first verse stated, he is Pradhana also. So it says Shakti, it's not different from the Lord. So the material energy also represents the Supreme Lord as well. But of course it's a little bit different. But a devotee who's in Prema doesn't see that. He says he's also a Supreme Lord.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, you said that Paramatma is the soul of the soul. Soul of the soul. So can we take this literal meaning that, like, for this body, the soul is the one-up. So it cannot act independent of the soul. This body cannot act independent of the soul. So like that, in the same way, soul also completely dependent on the super soul. He doesn't have any independence, like just like this body.
Well, he hasn't got, the Lord gives him some independence. But it's dependent on the Lord. That's all.
Chandra Shishu Shimon Balakrishi.